Advice, where we drink whiskey and talk about relevant advertising topics. I'm your host, Josh Mangum, and I'm here with our Director of Digital Marketing, Dave Teller, and Aiden Eaton, our Creative Director. Today we're going to be talking about color theory. So we have a lot of prospects, a lot of new clients that come into the relationship with our agency, not really understanding properly, I would say, the use of color in their advertisement, even in their branding. And this is your opportunity to basically call that out. Maybe we can re-educate some folks. Maybe we can just vent a little bit about improper use of color in advertising. So we'll start with just hearing from you guys. What are some of the common pitfalls, common mistakes that businesses make when it comes to color?
That's a good question. I think first thing that comes to mind is picking their favorite color. You know, they pick their favorite three colors, and that's it. Regardless of shade, regardless of whether those colors work together or not, those are the three colors they want.
Yeah.
Whether, like, the effect on, you know, the person's psyche. Like, it could be a bank that's loves bright red, you know? It's like a warning. Mm-hmm. But some people do that. Yeah. I see it often. And then trying to persuade someone to not do their favorite colors is tough.
It's their company. It's their baby.
Yeah.
They're going to be living with it for, you know, 40, 50, 60 years. They want their favorite color.
Yeah.
It's true. Even if it hurts their business.
My biggest one is sticking too hard to set colors, especially from, like, the PPC side of things where A-B testing is so important. Mm-hmm. Certain elements of your website or your marketing need to have some flexibility for you to find what works if you're not going to know out of the gate. So you need to be able to change that button color up to see what works best with your color combination for the rest of your branding.
Yeah, that ties into my biggest gripe, which is the over branding or just over being overly concerned that every single element in any kind of design is that exact color of your logo, right? And then that ties into also some of the issues with CTA buttons or action items on a ad or on a web page matching with the brand. It makes no sense to me. If everything that's important on the page is the same color, nothing's more important than anything else.
You need that hierarchy of color.
Super important.
Yeah. Especially for websites, especially with mobile-friendly websites.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to flow. You need to call attention to high-priority spots or moments.
Yeah.
It's weird that out of the palette of colors your brand has, people typically only gravitate towards one, and they make that every button color, you know? Or make that, like, the link color even. I've seen that before. But everything's just, like, a different, you know, it's all just one, it's two colors on the website.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got headings, and on the website, I've got headings that are that color, and I've got little graphical elements that are that color, and the buttons. And then to me, the button, the CTA, the one thing that you want somebody to do to take an action on that page blends in.
Oh, yeah, all washes out.
Yeah. But then, you know, we'll go and try to turn it something brighter, something that stands out, and people go, oh, no, that's not on brand. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be. It's not your logo. It's a button on your website.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think you could use, like, your accent color for your brand. You could reserve that only for the buttons.
Yeah.
But I only like if it's a positive color.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want it to be red, specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But.
Or the dark neutral colors, or the earth tone, just kind of muted colors, right? I see people use that as their CTAs, and then I see these bright colors for the branding, and it's kind of flip-flop to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I get that if you pick your, that's the brand color you picked, but I don't know, sometimes when you're picking a brand color, you got to think of stuff like that.
Agreed.
Like a bright yellow is really hard to show up on certain backgrounds.
Yeah.
Right? So everything can't be that color. Really just any good examples or issues of just misuse lately?
I mean, when you talk about good examples, you think of all the big companies, you know, Microsoft, their color scheme's the same as, like, basically Google's color scheme. And they actually get quite complex. So they give themselves, like, four different colors to play with. for smaller brands, four colors is probably too much to balance well. Then you think of like Marlboro Red, mm-hmm. where it's so famous. Coke, their Coca-Cola Red is so famous. So there's two ends of that spectrum. Giant corporations, one using a lot of colors, one using just one color. And they both make it work. So most businesses are going to fall somewhere between that. Probably pick like, what, two, maybe three at most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it matters on the product, too. You know,
yeah.
Cigarettes, you can get away with being red. It's edgy, you know? Yeah. People are smoking to be cool.
I mean, I was sitting there reading it earlier with you that 90% of initial responses to products is based on color alone. Mm. So design alone comes down to color choice more often than not than any other choice.
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhat unrelated, but they just went through a lot of that with dyes and foods.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of discussion about that lately where, you know, the American product just had really bright colors, but they said, well, that's because the American kids like to eat foods that are bright and colorful, and they'll ask for it by name in the grocery store.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, the big selling point. Which is weird, but it's true. People like bright colors.
I stand by the Red 40 in my Red Gatorades. You know? I will always drink those.
Okay. So. Well. Now, I think that there's a... I guess it depends on what kind of message you're trying to send. Like, I feel like the bright colors and the multicolor, like Google and Microsoft, I feel like that's more of your, like, approachable brand, good for everybody. But then you get into your luxury brands, and I feel like the colors get more towards that violet, purple area that you see one, maybe two colors, but you start to see those earth tones. I saw something about that, I read something about that a while back, but it just seems like the household brands are the big, bright colors. Mm-hmm. And then if you're buying a watch, you're not going to see, you know, like the whole rainbow represented in that logo, usually, if it's a big, expensive watch.
Yeah.
So, from the creative director, any input there?
Yeah, I do. I really like working on luxury brands because mm-hmm. you can take that risk. They're more willing to gamble on being unique, mm-hmm. especially like building a website, which is kind of outside of the color, you know, conversation we're having. But, you know, you go to like Gucci's website,
mm-hmm.
very unorthodox. Like you hover on an image, it like zooms in to like full screen, and the colors are muted, but they don't use white. They use like a like an off-white beige, like an eggshell. I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Forbes is white and black.
Yeah.
Uber. Right? Yeah. A lot of those bigger brands, and it's like a simplified, not that Uber's really like a luxury brand, but they, you know, I think they're a little different from a branding standpoint than Lyft.
Absolutely.
Right? Very opposite ends of the spectrum there.
Yeah.
So.
And this, I think the luxury brands appreciate the subtlety, and then the trap that a lot of the household brands fall into is trying to look like everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Industries have their set colors. What was it you were saying, Aiden, earlier? What is it? Home services.
Home services always green. Construction's always yellow or orange.
Yeah.
What else is there?
Lawn care's always green.
Banks are always blue. Real estate's blue.
Yeah.
And that one I feel like is like a self-fulfilling prophecy in terms of they all look at their competitors and say, I want to do as well as they're doing, so I'm going to copy their branding.
Mm.
Which I do think is always a balance, in my opinion. It's that you do need to fit into a role. People do see that yellow and they think construction. That mm-hmm. helps communicate to people what your business is.
Yeah.
On the other side of that, you also blend into every other construction company. So how far do you go to stand out?
Yeah. I think you have to pick one way to stand out. You can't do it in like, you can't do color and your imagery and have a weird like unique website. You got to pick one.
Yeah.
So. I mean, that's a good way to go to think about it though. Is like if you start breaking down your different branding points, your website, your business card,
mm-hmm.
If you're wrapping your vehicle, and think about, okay, if the color is an extreme or offbeat color, the other things need to be a little bit more standardized. That's a good way to think about it.
I like that. I feel like it's a validation thing too. Like, all right, I'm starting a lawn care company. I want people to see this company as a good, reliable, viable company. And then you think, well, let me just make it look like everybody else. So that's that first kind of foray into business. And then 3-4 years later, you're pot committed. Well, that's my color. So I feel like that happens a lot, that people aren't thinking about standing out. At first, they're just thinking about how do I look like I belong when they're starting that small business. So maybe.
Yeah, 100%.
maybe if you find yourself in that position, like, you got to be not afraid at some point to rebrand,
yeah,
and to reinvent the brand. Maybe not the brand name, but the brand look gets changed, and maybe that's just a stage of maturation that you say, okay, now we definitely are, you know, we got 4 trucks and we got, you know, 10 employees and we're cutting lawns all over the city. So now it's more, you know, how do we stand out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that honestly, the rebranding conversation is like a whole other thing unto itself that we should probably touch on in the future. Because it is there, like, the we have to rebrand everything. It's the cost of updating the trucks and the website and all that. But then there's usually the biggest hurdle is the mental. I have so much brand equity in this, so I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too far. But yeah, I think there's a really interesting conversation in terms of like when to know when to rebrand.
Yeah, it's definitely, it comes with a cost, but then it's potential, right? You got to figure out where you are with that. Well, then kind of pulling it back in, like, so if we were going to give advice to executives, marketing executives or advertisers, how to advise their clients when it comes to color theory for advertisement specifically, what would you say is the biggest bit of advice that you can give in this realm of color theory?
Do you want to go first?
I was going to say, back to what Aiden was saying earlier in terms of like keeping most of it consistent and having something that stands out, the same applies to advertising color theory as well. You need some consistent brand color going through, but you need something that stands out in ads. Most ads, you're going to have a fraction of a second to grab someone's attention. If you stick to the same set of colors, doing the same thing every single time that every other company's doing, you're never going to stand out enough to get a click.
Yeah. I would say be able to test, one. You know, test different things, find out what works. Test different color palettes. But also be willing to be bold, you know. Put you know, your most striking color in the background and see if it works. But don't put all your eggs in that basket and only make that ad. You know, test it.
That's what I always fall back on, is it comes down to the stats for me. And make a variation of it. Iterate on your design ideas. Change how you're applying the color or what colors you're applying. And then let the numbers tell you what works best. And the other crazy thing that people tend to forget is that what works best today may not be what works best tomorrow. So you do have to keep testing and keep evolving and keep trying those different colors. Don't be afraid to try those different colors.
All right. Well, guys, good talk. I think we're running out of time, so good talk. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
And thank you for joining. If you're still with us, please be sure to like, follow, comment, share everything you can on social media. Appreciate you. We'll see you next time.
Cheers.